Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
So you can actually go back and look like, oh, I had a really good day this day. What did I eat that day? How did I sleep that day? How did I fuel? What shoes did I wear? Mm-hmm. You know, starting to learn about things like have a rotation of shoes so you're not just wearing the same shoe every time. For me, I love all this stuff. This is half the fun. It's just
the gear. John Glazer, who I just realized has been my friend for like maybe over 20 years. I think I met you maybe when, like, I don't even know if you and Leslie were married. Maybe you guys were still kind of going out.
Just dating.
Yeah. Boyfriend, girlfriend.
BFGF.
Yeah, Avi.
Biff GIF.
Yeah, you guys were just Biff GIF. And
or is it gift?
I mean, we weren't super tight back then, but like I knew you.
Yeah, like mutual friends.
Yeah. Since then, Glaze has just always like been a part of my life, popped in and out. He is somebody who has a very successful career as a comedian, but he's got outside interests.
Sure.
Now, when I say hobbies, just so you know, it's like a loose term for anything.
What? Those shoes are sweet.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Just checking out the shoes.
Yeah, Adidas, Alexander Wang.
Pretty sweet.
My business partner, Crystal, they were hers, and she traded my new Adidas for these because I loved them so much. Thanks, no big deal. All right. Just a little sneaker pimping over here.
Sidebar.
Another hobby, maybe, perchance.
Sure.
So hobbies is like a general term I use that means basically something that you do without an agenda. So like without a financial agenda, a career agenda, without anything that is going to take you to the top. It's something that you purely enjoy just for the sake of doing it, even if you're not good at it. That's kind of besides the point. So like, you know, last week I was talking to Moshe and his hobby is surfing, and he said he's very, very bad at surfing, but he loves it so much. And I love that. Like, I almost love it because once you get really good at something, it's sort of, it just becomes maybe something else. Like, oops, you accidentally became a professional surfer. Like, maybe not good, but maybe at a pro level is what I mean. Anyway, painting is my hobby. I love it. Yeah, so it's anything that you like doing because you just for enjoyment. It could be anything from like, you know, what I was going to say, John's was like, he loves Detroit sports teams. I think you love Detroit sports teams, the sure. Tigers. I only know about Detroit sports because of you.
Really?
I am not a sports nut. So
understood.
When you did some of your stand up with like a Tigers hat on or like, remember that?
Well, I know, was it the thing where I wore the mask of that manager that nobody in the audience would most likely enjoy or even get?
Well, no one, I mean, it was New York. It was Detroit. It was a hockey team.
It was a baseball team. Oh. I did this thing where it was the manager. It was circa 2006.
Right.
And the reason I know that is because this particular manager, who's not their manager now, became their manager in 2006, and they were not very good. And then he's like an old school manager. His name's Jim Leland.
Uh-huh.
And he like got the team into shape and like turned them around and like had this.
Oh, that's cool.
He really like lost his cool. He's like, I'm sure he's got like a gravelly voice kind of a guy. That's not what he sounds like at all, but he's like, he's a smokes in the dugout kind of a guy. Yeah. Marlboro Reds and long time coach. Anyway, he turned the team around and they became really good and went to the World Series that year. And then what they did, I think it was 2006. Yeah, it was 2006 because my son was born that year.
Uh-huh.
They printed out these two-dimensional masks. They put these two-dimensional masks on the Detroit Free Press website that you could print out and, you know, cut out and put string on them and wear them to a game if you wanted. They were just like, it's just on a piece of paper, nothing fancy, but mm-hmm. they were, you know, high-quality images. And so I just printed out the Jim Leland one because he was my favorite. I was writing on Human Giant at the time.
That's awesome.
I would wear it at the writers' meetings and just pitch ideas as Jim Leland. And so I just started really enjoying wearing that mask. And then I just decided to go do it at a show. And I would just, you know, go up on stage and like, you know, I don't know comedy. I'm just, you know, I tell the infield when to play deep or when to, you know, tell a guy when to lay a bunt down. I don't know comedy, but I want to just get up here and try it. Just stupid.
But like people who know baseball probably caught the reference and like, who cares? But like,
I didn't care. Like to me, it was just for fun and whatever.
Yeah. But
I don't know if that's
like
a hobby.
No. But like, I like that you have your heart in Detroit because that's where you're from. So like, there's like little historical stuff. I don't know. Like, you know, insider Detroit stuff. But yeah, maybe that's not a hobby. Another hobby I was going to say that was John's is private jokes. Because we have like a handful and I don't even talk to you like on a daily basis. So I can't imagine your closest friends. Like, you're just probably talking to them. I mean, also...
But is that a hobby or is that just shtick?
See,
but it's, yeah, you know, it's
not, I don't know if it's a hobby, but like it's something you enjoy doing.
It's a passion.
But it's part of your warmth. Like the thing with John, I find is that I can have a very, very genuine, very down to earth talk with you and tell you anything and completely trust you. And also have the opposite where we're in character for like 10 texts deep. I don't know. I often forget the name of my character, as John likes to point out. Well, am I Ronnie or am I?
There was a thing,
Sandy.
I can't remember how it came up.
The Jets.
There was Ronnie and Sandy.
Yeah, we were just your basic Jets fans.
But it was, to me, yeah, you kept getting them mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was always easy. Like Ronnie, which is the boy sounding name, is the girl.
Oh,
so R-O-N-N-I-E.
Right.
Ronnie Spector.
Oh, so I'm Ronnie.
And Sandy is the guy, which they I also liked about that. But I can't remember. Like, it's just Ronnie and Sandy, Jets fans.
I don't remember how it started, but there was like a period of time.
Ronnie, where's my jersey? Like,
yeah, but
that's what I always.
Listen, Sandy, I put it in the darks. You told me not to put it in the lights, but it was white. But you said put it in the darks anyway. Like
just
I used
wash
to be
my
better.
Sports. Let me just wash my sports Look, stuff all together, please.
I can't. I mean, we're going to. We have tickets for tomorrow night. And
just
like,
let me
I,
wash my sports stuff then. Don't touch my sports
like,
stuff, please.
There was a period of time where I was really into the Jets. Oh. So my terminology was more on point. And being living in New York, my accent was better because I was into the Jets for like 20 minutes. I knew that you liked sports. And so I just told you about it. And I was like, oh my God, the Jets fans are unbelievable. Like, I went to a game. God. It was my first and only football game. And I was like, John, I wish that you were here because you'd be the only person to totally get the fans with me. And I just kept thinking about you and how hard we would laugh. And so that's maybe what started it. But
and then there became a thing like there's you and there's maybe one other person who lives here now who's mm-hmm. a big Jets fan that I always would send dumb like Jets
oh, yeah.
photos, like Jets bumper stickers, Jets like
it.
Seat covers or stupid shirts or whatever. Because Mike Sweeney was the head writer at Conan when I was working there, mm-hmm. was a big Jets fan, yeah. and he had this shirt that I would always make fun of. It was just like a long sleeve, like Jets green t-shirt, and it said Jets on the left breast, but it had like two patches. So it was just this weird, like, why does it say it twice? It was such an odd choice of like Jets. It was really weird, and so I just always gave him shit for that shirt.
That's so weird. It was probably like a fuck up at.
It was great though, yeah, because it was so shitty.
Yeah.
But I would constantly send him just like dumb Jets photos. This is me taking a cell phone picture. I'm making a weird gesture. And also you.
No, I got the gesture. And also, like, I'd say out of the blue, once every 6 months, 8 months, get a text from John that's like a crushed paper cup on the street that has a Jets logo on it. And I'm like,
long time no Jets.
I love him. It's so, it means a lot to me, but I know that's not a hobby. It's just you being a fun loving person who likes to hold on to the memories.
Well, it's just like dumb bits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's like I have Rachel Dratch and I have this long running text thread similarly where it's just, if we see something, like, it's got to be something really gross, like some really gross sounding. I'm just going to pull one up so I can read it to you, like a good example. Like just stupid products that we will then read out loud to each other or to ourselves, like in some kind of very, you know, like whispered. Like here's one where it's a juice called Forest Fruits. And just like the grossest name.
So you just make up like a little commercial?
It's just, you know, we'll...
Or you just say Forest Fruits.
Forest Fruits. So we just kind of will picture ourselves or imagine ourselves saying that. Like, and it's got to be just like, here's one she sent, Off the Eaten Path.
That's so gross.
I saw this one, Plants and Friends. Just these like super flowery, Once Upon a Farm.
Yeah, they're so cult sounding.
Here's one called Plantation Jingle Bits.
Wait, what is that one?
Jingle Bits. Here's one called Fresh Expressions.
Jingle bits. That one's good.
Scent. Oh God, I don't know
what's
what is
that.
This one's called Sensicles. Is it a candle?
That's so funny.
So Sensicles. We just have like this.
They're scents that smell like popsicles.
Oh, I actually was thinking of, because I was trying to think of hobbies that I had, and I had one that I was doing a while ago when my son was maybe 5 or 6. These were things, again, like I didn't post these on Instagram because I don't like posting photos of my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was just for me and, you know, my son. So when he gets older, we would go take the subway, live in New York, to his swimming lessons. And, you know, there's all the subway posters and I would see there's all like the TV and movie ads down there. And I did one where I saw, I think it was one of the seasons of Portlandia. And there's all these people, and I'll show it to you later and you'll see. It's just the frame of the ad is filled with people, and then you kind of find Fred and Carrie in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like from above. And I told Nate, I'm like, hey, go just stand in like the corner and I'll take a picture and make it look like you're in the poster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, these are my friends and I'll show it to him and it's really be really funny. And he did it and it was really cool. And we just started doing that. And I've got a bunch of those over a couple of years.
Wow.
And they were so fun to do and he was really into it and they're really cool.
That's so cool. Wait, so you didn't post them on Instagram?
I never posted them because I didn't want to, like,
right.
I don't like showing my kids. And I sent them, I think Leslie might have posted some because she wanted
to see them. You should make an album of all of them.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I really want to do something like that where I make a book. Same thing with Rachel, where I want to take all those and make like a book just for her.
That's so nice and thoughtful. That's cool to do for your son because that you said 5 or 6 years.
There's a, and then, you know, he got to the point where he was getting a little older and then he's like, he just didn't want to do them anymore.
Right.
I'm like, hey, let's do one. No, he was becoming a little too cool
you like,
for it.
Were you like, okay, or were you like, oh.
Oh, I was bummed.
Right.
They were fun to do because it was a fun thing to do together. It was creative.
Yeah, I like a hobby with your kid. That's something I should look into.
That was definitely a fun one. This is the first one.
Wow. So yeah, it is a Portlandia, like kind of like a Where's Waldo, and then
do you
with
see
the
him
gray.
Yet? Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
And he would do these.
That's great. He's yeah. So
we did
little.
Like a bunch
oh,
of these.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. And he just is standing in front of them. And how'd you make it look so good?
Well, this one was like very, very serendipitous where we had just gone to buy him a baseball bat at a sporting goods place. So he turned and faced away from the camera like these other guys.
Right.
We're now looking at one for an old show called Turn.
Just so you guys know, like these aren't photoshopped. They're just... that's so good. That's a 22 Jump Street.
I mean, I guess the answer is that I'm a great photographer.
Yeah.
I'm a good...
There's a lot of good
production design in here.
Yeah, you're a graphic designer.
But look at this one. This was also just good fortune where red glasses, blue glasses, and then my son white had white glasses in the middle, adopting a very good face. He's good.
He's beautiful. Very handsome boy.
This is yeah, one of the best I love ones. That, look at that.
That one's really good. It's black and white for the leftovers.
Justin Theroux punching the wall.
Yeah.
And then Nate strikes. Anyway.
But it's in black and white.
It's great to describe photos.
I know. It's people. That's everyone's favorite part of this podcast is when we describe things they can't see.
Yeah.
But
trust me, they are good.
One thing John suggested he wanted to talk about that he could talk about forever was running. And I know that you're Here a big runner. So you're a runner, like you're a jogger. You run marathons.
When did
you start?
I would say I got into running in earnest maybe 5 years ago. Yes, because I would run every now and then. Actually, you know what? I'll actually say in earnest, like maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
Let's back it up a little.
Bring it up.
You know, I would run every now and then, not consistently at all, wasn't super into it. And now it's become a thing where I feel like I have to do it. Like I want to do it.
Right.
And I really make the effort to get out a few times a week, if not more.
So when you were just a casual jogger,
mm-hmm.
how often would you do it? And how far would you do? How much jogging would you do?
Like really every now and then, which could be once or twice a month, if that,
mm-hmm.
maybe a mile.
You know, I used to listen to music
sometimes. Mm-hmm. I always listen to music when I'm training. If I'm running or doing a race, I usually don't. Depends on the race, but I prefer not to and just kind of enjoy the experience of the crowd and the sounds and all that. But
so when you jog, you listen to music, but when you're training or running a marathon,
when you're training, I listen to music.
Okay,
if I'm doing
okay.
a race, I most likely won't.
Right. And
it depends. Cause you know, there's lots of people around. You don't want to bump into anybody. I also like just kind of taking in the race as an experience. And if I'm trail running, which is really what I've gotten into way more, I like to just experience the quiet of the location or mm-hmm. again, it depends on the race.
Do you need a pump up song when you first hit the streets, pound the pavement?
Not necessarily. I do have I got a running mix that I'm always adding to, but I generally like something that's kind of, I don't know, kind of runs the gamut.
I want you to name like a couple of your favorite running songs. And I know that's annoying, but I can already sense that the listeners are thirsty for that. As am I.
There's like one song Oh Come On, Julie Ruin.
Hell yeah.
That song
rips.
As soon as it comes up, I'm like, yes.
That's awesome.
That song rips for sure. And it just, that feels really good. It's got a good just driving beat, good cadence when it comes on. There's like, and it's also like what's like lately, which is just doing it. One I put on there was, and it's got a running theme in it. Oh, what is it called? 100 Miles and Running, NWA.
Oh, yeah.
That one's really good.
That's good.
But then I also like stuff which is a little more, depending on where I'm running, like if it's in the woods and I'm going up a hill and it's just hard, like something a little more emotionally
like
resonant.
Like Eye of the Tiger?
No. Like go the other way. Like I just hadn't listened to Lauryn Hill's first album.
Oh, it's so good, right?
In a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's a great call, actually.
But it's the title song, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
And it's just not like a pump you up jam
at all.
But it just is like one of those emotionally fueling songs. And it's just, sometimes that can also feel really good.
Yeah.
Running. So it kind of depends on what I'm feeling in the moment, what I feel like listening to that day or whatever. And so I may skip a bunch of songs to get to a certain song.
Totally.
Or just like skip. Oh, that one feels good right now in the moment. Anyway.
That's great. And so you were casually jogging, and what made you transition from the casual jogger every two or three times every couple months or a month to I'm going to be a marathon runner?
Well, I never really aspired to be a marathon runner. And even now, like, I've done two road marathons, and I don't think that's something I want to do again. But why? I'll get to that.
Okay,
so
okay.
What happened was, so I would run every now and then, you know, running the loop in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, which is about 3.25 miles, seemed impossible.
Right.
And then I decided to try, my wife signed up for a half marathon, and I thought, I'm going to try one too. And so I did one.
A little competitive.
You know, yeah, a little bit, a little bit. I had to be king of the house. So I really enjoyed the training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked the, you know, seeing if I could actually work up to this mileage. And because we used to also live along the marathon route, the New York City marathon route, at around mile 7.
Uh-huh.
And for a long time, I'm like, I could never imagine running 7 miles, let alone 26. And so when I was doing my training for this half marathon, and it was hard, and I was not in shape, and it was just, you know, building up. And I remember when I first ran 7 miles, it was very, very satisfying to actually accomplish that, because I could barely finish the loop in the park, or even a mile or two. And so I found it to be a very satisfying feeling to feel my body respond to all that work and actually get in shape. Now, I'm not super fast or anything like that, but it went
to
from
keep
being
going, though.
Really, really hard to not as hard, where you can just sustain and it feels good and it's pleasurable, as opposed to, and I get why people hate running, but for me, I really enjoyed it. And so I ran a half marathon, and then I decided to try another one, and then I did a third. And then I felt like, all right, I think having run those, I decided, I think I want to try a marathon. Because at first I felt like, do a half, see how that feels. Because if that sucks and I hate it, then I know I don't want to do more.
And the third one felt good?
They all felt pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was trying to go, you know, set personal goals and see if I'd go faster each time. And
let me just ask you a quick question, though. When you train, now this is coming from somebody who doesn't run, and I don't know. So it's like running for dummies. Do you train with other people or just by yourself? And by training, you mean just running?
Yeah.
We're doing lunges.
No, by training, I mean just running, mostly running. You could, there's certainly, and I'm not a super experienced, heavily knowledgeable runner, but for me, it's following a training plan, which can include, you know, your long runs are on the weekends, or you pick a day that's your long run, at least for me. And there's conservative training plans, moderate, advanced. Right. It all depends on your level and what your ambitions are.
Right.
So
were you running with Leslie or?
No, we've oddly enough done very little running together because our schedules are usually not in sync.
Right.
You know, and if one of us is running, the other one's home with the kids or whatever, especially on the weekends with the long runs.
Right, right.
But it might be, you know, run 3 miles easy, the next day do sprint intervals, the next day hills. So there is, you know, you can vary, your training is not just run 6 miles every day.
Okay.
You're breaking it up to work different muscles and to build stamina, and also just to break up the monotony of just doing the same thing.
And how did you learn that? Like, who told you that was training?
I talked to a couple friends that were really good runners, talked to a couple trainers, followed, you know, did some research online, found a couple plans. And then for the last few races, I asked a trainer to outline a plan for me that I could follow just on my, you know, he has a website, follow it on a calendar. And then it becomes really fun because you're almost keeping a diary about, you know, what did you eat? So you can actually go back and look like, oh, I had a really good day this day. What did I eat that day? How did I sleep that day? How did I fuel? What shoes did I wear? You know, starting to learn about things like have a rotation of shoes so you're not just wearing the same shoe every time. You can have a distance shoe. You can have a race shoe, which for me, I love
all
this stuff. This is half the fun. It's just
the gear.
All the gear, but then just also all the things you do. And I'm not even that good about it. Like keeping this race journal or a training journal, it's great. Like, how did I feel that day? What was the temperature? Did I fuel enough? Did I hydrate enough? It's all helpful if you're doing, especially these endurance length runs like a marathon, which is, but even when I started doing trail running, which I immediately liked way better, I much prefer it.
Okay, so when did you start trail running?
So here's, so just to sort of backtrack what you said about when to get it fully into running. Like I did these half marathons, which were all fun. Then I did the marathon. And it was after that that I felt like I've done all this work to get in shape for this race. I don't want to just stop running.
Right.
I want to keep doing this. And I also really enjoyed it, even though it was brutally hard, especially at the end of the race. I enjoyed the training. And of course, after the first one, it was, all right, how do I do better next time?
Right.
That's where you start getting sucked in. You know, how do I train better? What do I do differently? How can, just to feel stronger at the end.
And you like the process though. So of course it's like, you can't, and this is what I was talking about last week, like just by virtue of doing it, you can't not get better. So you're going to get better and you are doing it because you love it. So then you're like, oh.
You're most likely going to get better. Not necessarily.
Right.
It also just depends. I mean, I would say more often than not, yes. You can still make mistakes. Like I ran two marathons and the second time trained way better, way smarter. Thought for sure I was going to do so much better and did not.
Huh.
And it was very frustrating.
Right, right.
But, you know, there was.
But better in the sense that you did it again.
I mean, my time was mildly better, not by much, but there was other factors. Like the first time I ran it, everybody told me, like everyone, throw away a time goal, just enjoy it, go slow and just enjoy the experience. Mm-hmm. And for the most part I did, but I have trouble running without a time goal. And it was still like, even when I saw my family at a couple of points, it was, you know, hey, what's up guys? Quick hugs. Okay, I got to keep moving. Mm-hmm. And I really regret that I didn't just stop, take some more pictures, savor that moment a little more. And so I try to do that the second time. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, well, my time wasn't as fast as I thought it would be, but I at least stopped to
savor
those moments a little more. Second time I ran with a friend, he was stopping to see his family. He had a bathroom break, things like that where I can at least, whatever, I make myself so crazy with all this stuff.
Totally.
It ultimately doesn't matter. It was a beautiful day, mostly a great experience. I'm just mad because I didn't finish strong and I felt like shit at the end and I felt like, why'd that happen?
Right. Well, that's when I totally get that too. We start getting really hard on ourselves about certain goals. When I do, see, I had that same thing with dance. Mm-hmm. When it comes to physical stuff, I'm very hard on myself. And what starts as being really, really fun is, continues to be fun, but because I start getting better, I start getting more competitive with myself. It has nothing to do with anybody else. I'm not going to be a professional ballerina. There's no world where that's a possibility. Yes, a girl can dream.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But like you said, like if you were just going for time, like, you know, the things that slow you down and the things you don't, you were like, well, I regretted not spending more time with my family and giving them hugs. So like,
I gave, just to be clear, I don't want the audience. I mean, I gave them hugs. Okay, I'm not a monster.
You gave them like one-armed hugs.
It was quick, though. It was definitely one of those like, well, who gives a shit? What am I doing? I'm not fast. I'm not going. I don't need. It was the first one. Oh, man. Whatever. And then the second one,
but
my son was
that.
Playing flag football. He wasn't even there. I'm like, ugh.
Right.
But I at least, yes, I stopped longer, all that kind of stuff. But
the fact that you love it so much, you continue to do it, and now you were like, well, I don't want to stop just because there's no marathon to train for. I'm going to do hikes and trails and all that.
Well, even still running, I mean, I've done two of these trail half marathons, which are in and of themselves really challenging.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
But so much fun. If it's going to be that hard, I'd prefer to just be out in some beautiful setting. Not that you can't have that with road running, but I just prefer the changes in elevation, the changes in terrain, right. The different speeds. There's walking involved. There's hiking involved. It's not just all running. For some people, it is. I mean, if you're super competitive and super fit, you can run an entire course no matter how steep it might be or most of it.
And where do you do it in New York?
Mostly Prospect Park, which is actually not, I mean, for a city park, it's not crazy hilly, but there's a couple very short, steep sections. And if I just double up, triple up on that, including some of the other shorter or smaller hills, I mean, I can still get a ton of elevation. So it's not bad training. And or you just get out of the city an hour and there's beautiful spots, Bear Mountain.
Have you become obsessed with it?
I don't know about obsessed, but close.
Right.
I really love it. I wish I had more time for it. It's certainly not that I have any regrets about how my life has turned out and things like that. You know, and when you approach it from the philosophical standpoint of, well, if I had done anything different, then I don't meet Leslie when I do. We don't have Nathan when we do and all that sort of thing. But I still every now and then will indulge the thought of, because when I worked at Conan, it was this really great vacation schedule.
Uh-huh.
And I think about it. I think about this a lot, like, oh man, the trips, like the trail running trips I would have taken, like if I had gotten into it years ago. And that's a waste of time to think about that, but I do. Like, I could have gone to so many cool locations and locales, and oh, that would have been so incredible, but I'll still try to do that.
Well, you still can. I mean, like, for sure, time. But is your family ever like, you need to spend more time with us and not run as much? Like, I'm not, I know that sounds funny, but like.
It hasn't been verbalized, but.
I get that though.
I try to get up super early, especially on the weekends. I try not to have a conflict with family stuff. Like if my kids have games on the weekends, I had to miss a few of those because they were like 9 a.m. games. But I try to get up on the weekends very early to run and be done for the day, so it's not breaking up the day.
But like, do you feel that sometimes, and I say this with knowing how much you love your family and your children and everybody, and same with me, but like, there's times where I'm like doing something with Mary and I'm like, oh, I would so much rather be XYZ. And I know that that's selfish and like, not the right thing to say or whatever, but
it's the truth, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Sometimes doing kids stuff can be boring.
Well, it's hard too. Like it's important, I think, to have breaks.
Yeah.
You know, and I really enjoy having my time to myself, which is one thing I really like about running.
Right.
Is just I can go check out, tune out, listen to music. I do find it very, you know, all the meditative aspects of it. I do enjoy that. And that's sort of become a big part of it too, is, I mean, really doing all that work. I don't want to just stop running and just get out of shape.
Do you feel like it's helped you outside of running, like in your personal relationships, like maybe helped you? Like, I wonder sometimes if my painting has helped me as sort of like a therapeutic way to like, and I don't think it has, but maybe like not care so much about certain things or get so angry or aggressive or tense or annoyed as fast. I'm not sure that it has, but it's not a meditation. So like when I paint, I listen to usually a book or a podcast and I paint, and the more focused I am on what I'm listening to, the less focused I am on the painting, and then it just comes. And that's really when I'm in the zone, when I don't even know what I'm doing. And I'm just kind of like letting my hand and my mind separate. But with running and you're outside and it's like you said, like you're by yourself. Sometimes you listen to music, but sometimes you don't. And to me, it really does sound a lot more like a meditation where you're not distracted. You're like I'm distracted by somebody reading a book or a podcast. I'm distracted by another person. It's not distraction might not be the best word because it's not bad, but it just, I'm not silently painting, like mm-hmm. quietly painting like I would when I meditate. But like, there is something like really, to me, like mind-boggling of running, moving your body, not stopping. Like I find running to be very difficult. Like I don't know how you just keep going. Like I run and then I stop and catch my breath. Like that's to me what running is. Like I ran over to somebody really fast and then I'm out of breath and I need a drink and then I'm sitting. Like it's, and my mom is a runner too. She's like you, where she just has been doing it and whatever. I mean, she doesn't do marathons. She just does it because she loves it. But I'm like, I don't know. And I tried it a couple of years ago in New York. And it was just really hard for me to keep wanting to move, to keep going. It's hard. I don't know how you do it.
Well, it's for sure not for everybody.
Right.
I know for me it was, and it wasn't even for me for a long time. It wasn't until I decided I'm going to try this marathon. And, you know, it really kind of clicked in once I got in shape, because it took a good couple months. And I really started from scratch that first time. Like I hadn't been running consistently. I needed to get in shape. It took a good couple months till I started feeling better on these runs. Otherwise, uh-huh. it was just like huffing and puffing.
Really?
And struggling.
I always pictured you though, kind of like riding a bike. Maybe that's from images of you from John Glazer Loves Gear. And
well, I used to ride my bike a ton.
Yeah, you
even
did.
Before that, but not necessarily.
In New York, a bike is like a glorified wheelchair. I mean, no offense to real cyclists, but I would use it just to get from like my house to the bar faster.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's like, it's better than walking. Like,
I mean, I do like being on my bike, but I hardly ride it anymore just because wow. I'll commute into the city. I mean, I still do it a fair amount, but I run way more than I bike, but I was never in, you know, that didn't.
A cyclist.
Not a heavy duty cyclist right. where I was doing tons of like long rides and getting myself
but
in
you have
really
the
good
outfit.
Shape. Oh, I got the clothes.
You have the gear.
I got the stuff for sure.
Okay. I know you do. I don't even know what we both love gear.
It's half the fun, really.
I totally. The buying of the shit. It's what I always talk about.
It's
the buying
very
of the shit is the best. And the little rituals. So for dancing with point shoes, you have to sew on your own laces.
Sure.
And you have to cut them, and then so they don't fray, you burn them at the ends. There's like all this, there's so much breaking in of a point shoe that's so exciting, and little tips. And I would go on YouTube and find out like, okay, cutting it over here will make the shoe bend better. Cutting it on the front won't make it so slippery. Like little dippity doos of gear fun. And I'm just, you know, beginner point. Like it's really hard, and I haven't even done it in 2 years, and I just love the rituals of
that stuff. I think is
it's half of it.
Huge part of the enjoyment of whatever activity, whether it be athletic yeah. or not.
Right.
You know, you talking about tape or the burning of the edges, like I was not a good hockey player. I learned how to skate very late in life, but I did love the rituals of preparing and like
right.
taping your stick, putting on the socks over the shin right. guards, putting tape around that, getting all the stuff on. Even when I run, especially trail running, especially if I'm doing a long run.
Yeah.
You know, I have this pack. It's like the half shirt of backpacks.
Right.
It's this running pack, and it only goes till about here.
It's like a crop top?
Yeah, it's like a crop top backpack.
Cool. But you wear it on your front.
Yes. Well, it's got, you know, it's got two water bottle pouches on the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a, you know, sort of a little pack on the back that you can put stuff in,
mm-hmm.
including if you're putting like one of those reservoirs or a bladder in there with the drinking tube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have lots of options, but I love just, you know, putting that thing on. That was me clicking it closed.
Yeah.
You can adjust where it goes up high or lower, so it get to get a right fit. It's got these really good strings in the back that cinches it and just fits so perfectly, and it's so comfortable, and it's so fun just to load that stuff
okay,
up.
Okay, so what else do you put in it besides water?
You could do a drink, a hydration mix.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's, once you're going on these distance runs, you know, you got to bring fuel, whether it's whatever food you want.
You can eat and run at the same time?
I mean, it depends on, there's gels, which you can suck down very easily. Some of them are gross.
What are some of them good?
There's a brand called Huma, which is all natural.
Uh-huh.
So it tastes to me a lot better. There's a brand called Spring.
What do they taste like?
They've got like rice and mango puree and things like that. And some of these other ones they're more like chemically and they don't taste as good, but you just have to find the one that you like the taste and that goes down easy.
And it fills you up?
Well, it gives you calories. Right. It gives you electrolytes, mm-hmm. things you're really going to need for an endurance run.
Right.
There's also brands that are just powders, and that gives you also, you can drink all your calories and get all your electrolytes that way.
Right.
Which I personally prefer.
Okay.
Because also if you're eating a bunch of gels over the course of a few hours, you know, if you're going to run for an hour, you might not need any of that stuff, or mm-hmm. maybe like one gel or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever ran so much that you barfed or had diarrhea?
Thankfully, that's never happened.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the first time I did the marathon, I felt like complete hell the last few miles.
Really?
And maybe it's because I didn't train enough. Maybe it's because I didn't hydrate properly, didn't fuel properly. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. But the second marathon where I felt like I had trained way better, because
mm-hmm.
I had done this trail half marathon 2 years ago, same experience at the marathon, felt like just total shit at the end.
Mm.
And then the second, and I knew that's because my training was poor. Mm. It was also pretty muggy and humid that day, mm-hmm. which is brutal, but
mm-hmm.
don't know how I fueled. Anyway, the second one, I trained way better, way more hills, fueled differently, and mm-hmm. felt great at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was elated. I felt so good. So you just never know. You could have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything, but.
Well, I just was asking you about.
Oh, there's different types of fuel. But I've never done that, but I felt like I was shutting down and maybe getting dehydrated.
Friend of mine. Have you ever cried? Truth.
During a race or just in my life?
Both.
Have you ever cried? I don't think I've cried during a race. I felt pretty elated, but.
Right. It maybe makes you more like endorphin.
I don't think I ever had that.
Before the big day, before the big race at night, do you eat pasta?
I mean, the whole thing with carbo loading, at least from what I've read, you've got to be doing that a week or two. And you don't just do it the night before.
Okay.
You know, you've got to be really. And, you know, this is all part of it where maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. But,
right.
you know, where you got to eat certain things and make sure you get, and then a few days out, you really just do nothing but carbs, or the majority of your diet's carbs, or it should be. And, you know,
sounds good to me.
Listen, for each person,
am I right, ladies?
Folks,
am I right?
It's all right. Shoving
ladies
down pasta,
love cool
bread.
Carbs.
LL Cool C.
You know it.
So, yeah, a lot of rice, a lot of bread, a lot of pasta.
What
didn't help at the end? God damn it.
What have Still you been so running mad. While you're in LA?
Yeah, I went on do you know Kurt Brownaller?
Yeah.
He's just texted me. He's like, hey, I've been getting into running, got, you know, what should, blah blah blah. What should I be doing? Tips.
You're like, well, you gotta get this vest pack.
Well, first we went for a 6.5 mile trail run in Griffith Park the other day. That was really hard and really fun.
Wow.
I'm going to go with some guy I know. He's going to take me somewhere in Malibu, Palisades.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds beautiful.
You'll probably really like that.
I ran around the Hollywood Reservoir yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Which I really like that a lot. I still vastly prefer trails, but that's a nice flat road run, like 3-something mile loop. And it's just flat and easy and fast and really pretty back there and quiet. There's hardly anyone back there. It's great.
Wow.
But I'm trying to just keep running because I just enjoy it, and I also want to just stay in shape. I might do a race. I might do a road half in March in New York. But
what's
yeah.
that? What's a road half?
Just a road half marathon.
Oh, so it's how many miles?
13.1, which is still a lot.
It's so many.
That's no joke.
It really is.
So many.
It's that so many miles.
So many miles.
It's so many miles. So okay.
It's a lot, but things... I like that distance a lot. I think that's my distance.
I consider you a running pro. You might.
You're
I think
kind.
You do.
I do
At
not.
At this point, you're kind of a pro.
I don't know, but.
Yeah, why not?
All right, fine. Yes.
So there's two questions I like to ask people. One is, What's your favorite running outfit?
Here we go.
Yeah, the bread and butter.
This is going to be a tough edit. It depends. Road or trail?
Let's go with trail first.
All right. I got these pair of shoes.
What are
they? This brand called Hoka.
Okay.
I think it's either One One. It looks like the word one.
Okay.
Hoka One One, but I think it's Hoka. I have a pair of shoes that I love. I also love how they look. They're called Speed Goats. Plenty of cushion, but they still feel pretty responsive.
Okay.
Like, I like they. They're not too. Like,
they're talking to you.
They're not too mushy on the.
Right.
And I like having a little more cushion on the trails. Okay. I like a good firm feel of the road. Like I like a. I don't want a too cushiony shoe.
Right.
But I don't want it to be too firm either. And these are nice off road. For the road, I like a little firmer. Anyway.
I like what you're. I like this tail you're spinning. This yarn you're weaving. Keep it going.
I just got these. Compression socks,
like old people.
They're wool. Oh my god, they're so comfortable. They feel so good.
Why are they so comfortable?
Well, they're wool, which is very nice fabric,
but doesn't it itch?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Very, very fine wool. They are knee highs.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm wearing them with shorts, they look a little ridiculous, but I kind of like that. I like that look.
Yeah,
I like that look a lot. If I'm going, you know, if it's cooler out, I got some very nice compression 3/4 length tights.
Okay, but what is a compression sock? Like, I'm curious about these.
In theory, it just increases circulation and blood flow, which helps muscle fatigue.
Okay. I think I
are they gimmicky? I'm not sure. I don't know if they really work, but I also like how they feel. I like that kind of extra tight feel on my legs, or I have some also compression sleeves for my arms.
Mm.
I will say this. I wore those compression arm sleeves for the marathon, the second one. The first marathon, I remember feeling like my fingers were getting a little numb towards the end.
Wow.
And on the second race, not so much. So maybe those actually helped.
Totally.
Who knows?
That's cool. So you still wear those?
I love them.
Oh, great, great.
And, you know, part of it is always going to be like, this is a cool outfit.
Right, I know, I love your looks.
I might have like a ridiculous looking thing.
No, but you pull it off. Do you wear a sweatband around your head?
No.
Because that's kind of a legendary Glazer look.
I've kind of, there's a couple good headband photos.
Okay.
But I like wearing a hat.
Okay.
But I won't do a visor. I don't like a visor. I don't like that look.
No, you're not a visor person.
I like to have a visor if it's sunny, just to have that option.
Okay, so in between the head and the feet, I want to know.
If I'm doing tights, I have a pair of these short, not like super short run, racing running shorts, but they're these blue North Face shorts. I think they look good over the tights, so mm-hmm. it's not black on black.
Totally.
So I'd like the blue on the black looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple good base layers that I like. I got a... One is an icebreaker, this wool, like mid-weight if it's chilly out.
Mm.
And they were getting holy in the elbow, so I cut them to make them like a short sleeve, which I think looks pretty sweet.
That's cool.
With like a muscle tee.
Whoa!
Like wicking race jersey. So it's like...
Hello, hunk so, you know, material.
So I like the short sleeve base layer look with like either a tank top over it or like a cutoff jersey look.
Yeah, this is a cool look.
I don't
man.
Like long shorts over tights. I think that's
right.
Like a that just is like a suburban dad look. Not a good look.
No, you get the 80s. I'm getting an 80s feel that I'm a fan of. Like, let's bring it back to the mesh jacket I loaned you and then gave to you.
Oh my god.
Or no, I gave
hoodie.
It to somebody, the hoodie. So it was like
wore
a blue
that delocated, yeah.
Mesh hoodie.
That'd be tough to pull off, but could be fun.
Do you think that's something helpful for runners or just fashion?
That's a little more fashion, but okay. that'd be fun to run in.
Do runners like wear windbreakers?
For sure.
Are they helpful?
Oh yes.
Why? They break the wind.
Yeah. If it's the right temperature,
you meaning the people's farts in front of you.
Correct.
You don't smell them.
Correct. It traps the wind in the booty.
I always wanted to be a windbreaker person, but they're more functional than they are fashion.
You got there's good fashion.
They look good, but they're noisy.
If you got to get the right ones. I have a couple that I really like a lot.
Okay.
Got a Patagonia Houdini.
Mm.
Great name.
Yeah.
Super light. And then I have this one Gore has their own brand, like Gore-Tex.
Right, right.
And I got this And the one thing I like about the Patagonia Houdini, it's got a hood. And I really like having a hood.
Ooh, okay.
The Gore one does not, but it's such a light jacket. It's so comfortable, and it does a great job just giving you a little extra warmth.
And you wear your special vest on top of all of this?
I have this. I don't have a good running vest.
Or like your crop top with the water.
Oh, yes. If I'm wearing the pack, that'll go on top of everything else. And, you know, if you want to take your layers off, you just put it in the pack.
Oh, that's cool.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom.
Into the pack.
So my last question is that, do you have like a fantasy hobby? Like something that you don't do, you probably will never do, because if you were going to do it, you would have done it by now, but like something you wish you wanted to do?
Well, I have, when I was at Conan, I bought a bass guitar thinking, yeah, you know, I have a lot of downtime in the office. I'll kind of like fuck around on this thing and I'll learn how to play it. Probably take some lessons eventually. I also bought a used guitar. Never really, you know, I kind of got okay, like playing a couple like small little things, but never learned to play them. And it's something that I hate about myself.
Oh my God.
I've got this fucking bass guitar and a guitar in my apartment and they just sit there and I just look at them like I never learned to play those. So fucking lazy. Took a couple lessons. Didn't keep up with it.
It just wasn't
It was though. I know.
In my head, it's for God me too. I understand, dude, but
that's
look,
a tough one.
You're not lazy. You're running for fun. You're not lazy. It's like sometimes the thing
guitar,
that we wish
though,
would call
man,
to us,
God
it's like if we liked, if you really liked the lessons, if you really liked learning, you would have kept doing it. But it's not for everybody.
Not true. I'm just,
you're being too hard.
Kills
on
me. I took a photography class in college, loved it, just didn't keep up with it. All that knowledge.
I beg to differ. You just did a whole photo series of your son in front of movie posters for 6 years. Okay.
Yes, but like with a good camera, good quality. I mean, it's different.
Nothing's better than the iPhone. We're in the digital age. No, I mean like...
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but you know what I'm getting at. I'm
totally.
So mad. I just... Ugh,
but
anyway.
It's like there's time for all of this. You also are a working parent. Like...
I know.
It's hard for us to find time to do anything extracurricular. And the thing that you do what is take is very time consuming and like a lot of work. So maybe think about your golden years when you will continue to run, but might not be able to run 13.1 miles.
Absolutely, I will be able to.
JK.
How dare you?
I know. You'll never get old. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'll get old.
But when you retire, when your kids are in school, in college, whatever.
I know.
There's time for everything, including things you might not know about yet.
No, I know, but still.
You've got tricks up your sleeve for days. You're very interested in other people and other things and interesting. And I have a feeling that there's more hobbies yet to be revealed.
Yeah, I know, but all I do is focus on the ones that I...
That's great.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
You're
God.
Just a nutbag.
Oh, man.
Meanwhile, I would love to be a runner. I don't know. There's nothing about it that sounds...
No, don't even bother.
Right?
Doesn't sound like it's your thing.
It's not my thing. Like, I wish I was that kind of person. There's a lot of kinds of people I wish I was. That would be better for me. Like, if I loved cooking, that would be helpful.
I could see cooking becoming one.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I should.
Cooking is something we talk about on every episode of this podcast because I hate it. And I like to, some people feel the same as me and some people it's their main hobby.
I don't do it hardly at all. Leslie does and she's a very good cook.
Mm-hmm.
But even this morning I just made a couple eggs, cut up a tomato. I'm like, this is just like all the cutting, getting the right knife, all that shit. It's like, that's very enjoyable.
Whoever's listening and who listens to my podcast right now, you can hear me rolling my eyes. Because like I use,
do you add sound effects later? Like
I should, like I should start. Roll? No, but like I say everything that you've just said, but in a negative. Like all the cutting and the chopping and the liquid dripping from the fucking measuring cup. Anyway.
Oh, that's all the clinking, ting, ting, clink, clink.
The clinking and the tinking and the buzzing and the, I'm like, I don't.
And the sounds, pouring the stuff into the, like a clink, 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 cut, 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 chop, chop.
Wow, that sounds wrong. I'm doing everything wrong. I have no confidence in myself in the kitchen.
Put it all together. Just take a bite. I'm like, I don't need. I did that. I made this.
Yeah, and then now it's gone, and now I have a bunch of shit to clean up.
But even that, put on some music, relax. See, I don't mind doing dishes. Put the music on.
The minute I start cooking anything, I'm like, I need a new kitchen. I need to redo my kitchen because this just isn't working for me. Everything's not, it's too small. Nothing's in the right, which is true.
That I understand.
But
I feel that. I feel that.
I'm like, I'm just going to reorganize now. Like I like doing that. Like I so much prefer cleaning and reorganizing. Anyway, that's our PCast. Thank you so much.
Did it.
Want to talk to Leslie about your hobbies? Call our toll-free hotline at 844-370-VOID. That's 844-370-VOID. Rate and review Filling the Void on Apple Podcasts. Filling the Void is an Erios original with editing by Tracy Levy and original score by Michael Cassidy.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.